Lord. You may be seated. I'm not going to keep you too long this evening because you have already heard several messages. I want to remind all of you that we're going to be in revival every night this week, next week, and the usual 3 o'clock every Sunday afternoon services. Ask someone to come to services with you tomorrow night. I know that most of our crowd was so worn out tonight because we've been here for hours today, just for hours, and most people were just really tired. So we're going to get another breath and just be right back here again tomorrow night and asking you to come back and worship with us. And invite someone else to come with you. You know, people, if you can just catch the vision of what you've really seen here tonight and what we're doing, I believe that every born-again Christian everywhere, that there wouldn't even be standing room in this place. If people could only see into eternity and see what really is happening here. I've had people write me letters, television, and say, I don't understand. You never carry a Bible, and you don't read from the Bible. Well, for one thing, I can't see, so it wouldn't do me much good to carry a Bible for a prop. But the Word of God is written upon the table of my heart in the blood of Jesus Christ. I carry it in my heart. I know the Bible. I've been reading it for a lot of years. I don't have to carry the Bible to make somebody else think that I'm knowledgeable, because my knowledge and my strength is in Him. I was reminded tonight of the Apostle Paul. He's speaking to the church, and he said, men and brethren, he said, I didn't come to you with great swelling words, with words that sounded like they were words of wisdom, but I came to you with the truth, with the simplicity of the Word of God. And I think so often, when people try to act so knowledgeable, that sometimes maybe they're really not as wise as they might like us to believe that they are. Isn't that right? Yeah. I believe that each of us to be used by God, that we have to have a burning bush in our lives. As the first prophet of God, the great apostle Paul, Jesus of Nazareth was his burning bush that he met on the road to Damascus. And you notice in those scriptures there that there wasn't any stammering. When that blinding light came down from the heavens, Paul knew immediately that it was Jesus. And he said, Lord, Lord. And that's the thing with so many of these testimonies that you have heard tonight, is back in the recesses of those hearts, souls, and minds, there was that burning desire, that desire for fulfillment of life on this side of eternity, life eternal and everlasting, and a knowledge that there must be a burning bush in their lives, that there had to be something so strong, something so great, and something so powerful that it would change them completely. And that was exactly what God had in mind. That was exactly what He had that He was holding for them, was that new creation that He was going to make them in His Son, Christ Jesus. I think if the visiting Christians here tonight would look deep and think deeply into these testimonies that they have heard. You know, our nation has and is in revolution. Do we know that? Do we realize that? That behind the scenes in every large city, the black people are being gathered together. And they're being taught to hate and to kill the whites. Ah, it's the truth. Come on, it's the truth. You've got one black person after the other sitting here tonight that have been in violent black revolutionary movements. They were told that that was the only way in this world that they would ever get anything that they had coming to them was to kill for it. If that's the word, kill. Human life is getting to where it's of no value. It is of no value. I know that sometimes for the people through this area right here, these things are hard for you to believe. They're hard for you to accept, but they're truth. All around us, New York, Detroit, Chicago, Los Angeles, as people go about their little daily duties, the world is so caught up, many of them at their own personal jobs, their own personal lives. They're not actually aware of what's going on behind the scenes. That these different movements, gathering people together, various races, backgrounds, indoctrinating them. Hate, kill, take. Why, we ask ourselves, is this possible? That these things can be happening in a nation like ours that we call Christian America. But I could call tonight before you 500 testimonies and be very, very safe in saying that not 10 out of that 500 had ever heard a gospel song in their lives. Dedicated to violence, dedicated to drugs, dedicated to guilt. It isn't anything to meet a young person that says the revolution is going to start. And I'm going to be on the side of the blacks. And I want to see the white people pay for what they have done to them. Ah, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, let me tell you what we have done to them. We have failed to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. That's where we fail. If every person here tonight, every born again Christian, that black girl or boy or man or woman, so filled with hate, so filled with violence, when you look at them, you could see such contempt upon their faces. Try putting out your hand and saying, brother, come to the house of God with me tonight. You'd be surprised at the attitude that person would take. They're contemptible towards us because we have been hypocritical in what we profess to believe in. We profess to be Christians. We profess to believe in a living God. We profess to behold the glory of God in His Son, Christ Jesus. And that was a message of dying love to eternity. And yet we show none of these attributes to a lost and dying world. When the plague is passed for the missionary field, when we're asked again to build a church in Africa, we say, that's great. I'll give a few dollars, but keep it over there. Keep it over there because I don't want to know anything about it. But I don't want to be brought face to face with any issues like that. And all around us like a canker worm, this thing is eating at us. which met recently. There has been violence there this last year that is incredible. Incredible! We knew this thing would happen because it was in the major cities all around, surrounding. And I said to people sitting in this tabernacle tonight, it's gotta close in on us from every side. It's coming. There isn't any doubt about it. God is allowing us to be punished because we have failed in God. Is that the truth? We have failed at God. We preach one thing, but our lives are another. What's happening, we say to our churches, what's happening? Beautiful structures, beautiful buildings, but there's no one there. There's no one there. A few people. A very, very few people. Because we have lost that first love. We have lost that joy of the Lord that we've heard so many of these young people here tonight say, I knew that something had happened to me. I felt the Spirit of the living God enter into my mortal body. And I knew that I was changed. I was changed. I didn't hate the white people any longer. I loved them. I went back out to the streets. And the first thing that I wanted to do to the white man that I had been taught to hate so intensely, I walked up to the first white person that I saw, and I looked at that person with love, with mercy, and with compassion, and I told him about Jesus Christ, my Lord. I heard so many of the black young people say, I was so indoctrinated into hating the white. They were such contemptible creatures to me. And I had been taught all my life to hate them. That it was because of them we were oppressed and depressed. And I hated them. But as soon as Jesus Christ entered into my heart, there was a love that came into my heart. There was a feeling of compassion towards the white people. And the first thing I wanted to do the minute I was saved was go to some white person and tell them about Jesus Christ. Is that the truth? That was the first desire that I had. There's only one thing in this world that's going to break this bondage that we're being held in. And that is the blood of Jesus Christ. There isn't anything else that's going to do it. And that's exactly why Satan fights an evangelistic work like this one with everything in his power. Because you see, sitting here tonight, young men, blacks, that a few years ago, your life would have been in danger if you met one of them on the street. And now, if you're a sinner, your sinful life is in danger. Because they're going to lead you to Jesus Christ. There's a change coming. There's a violent, bloody revolution that's on its way. But there is a spiritual revolution. The power of the living God that's going to come down from the heavens. I have met God in a burning bush, and He has given me a revelation of a great church, that great speckled bird. People of every race, every color, every kindred, every nation, every tongue, that are going to join together in one purpose, and that is to evangelize this old earth, to shake it upside down. We haven't got a problem at the Tony and Susan Alamo Christian Foundation. We have no problems within our church. Oh, but Satan hates us. I'm looking out into this congregation right now, and I see an Arab sitting there. Stand up, Arab head. There's a Jew right across the aisle from him. Stand up, Jew Norman. Now, there's some Mexicans sitting around out there. Stand up, some of you Mexicans. Stand up, some Italians. You see, people can live in peace before God. Every race, every color. This is that church that Jesus spoke about in the last days. That's what God was talking about. That's the revolution, the counter bloody violent revolution, because the Lord God is going to raise up a standard against the devil. His army is getting together now. That's why Satan wants to break it up. He wants to get it stopped. We're the counter-revolutionary movement. Amen?
Amen.
We're not afraid of the powers of darkness. We didn't walk out into the streets with great swelling words of vanity. And we walked up to people, regardless of race, creed, or color, and we said, why are you destroying your mind, your soul, and your body? Don't you realize that this is why Jesus died, that you can have life and have it more abundantly? Don't you realize that this is what the gospel is all about? The looks that came into the eyes. There's hope for me. There's hope for me. They have brought me a message of peace. I'm tired. My soul is weary of sin. Do you have any idea the inner complexion? The grief, the tearing, the pulling that goes on in the heart of the ungodly. He hates himself, and he hates you. Because hate is the only substance of life that he has ever known. But he's hungry. He's dying for peace. Drugs, because there is no peace in the life of the ungodly. Just for a few moments escape to get away from what? That inner soul that's crying out, isn't that right?
Yeah.
How many of you here tonight have known that? How many of you have felt that? How many of you secretly staggering around in revolutionary movement, telling somebody else how rough and how tough you were, but on the inside you were dying a million times, crying out, God, if you're there, send somebody. Help me. I need help. It's the truth, isn't it? And you know what the others out there are suffering. You know what they're going through. And that's the desire of our heart, to get right back out into the middle of it. Get right back out there to these big old guys like Still, taking young black boys up into the mountains to teach them to fight the whites. That's a great occupation, isn't it? Isn't that wonderful? But then he came face to face with a burning bush. And like Moses, my Lord, I can't do that. I can't go to the white man. I hate him. I despise him. Yeah, Phil, you can't. I'll tell you how you can. You tell him that the great I am sent you. That's how you can go. I am the rose of Sharon. I am the bright and morning star. I am he that was dead, but behold, I am alive forevermore. And I hold the keys of heaven and of hell in the palm of my hand. Go now to every man, every woman, and every child, and tell them the glorious message that Jesus gives. Jesus satisfies. Jesus Christ is coming back to earth again. That's what we are getting ready for. To lay as many jewels at the Master's feet. That's the only concern that we have. That's it. That's our lives. We're getting ready here. Start moving out again every direction. Start moving out into the streets again with that glorious gospel to see more souls won for Christ. This little town, with all of its arguing, its bitterness, even its attempted fighting at this church, one of these days in eternity, it's going to realize how blessed it really was, isn't it? Yeah. When it sees what God actually has done here, what the Lord has accomplished. In closing this evening, I want to ask you, be with us again tomorrow evening at 7:30. Wednesday and Thursday night will be Nazarene minister from Oklahoma will be speaking Wednesday and Thursday night. And because of all the confusion we've had recently, we're going to have Sister Corrie Ten Boom down during the revival. We were going to have Dale and Roy Rogers here, but our plans are indefinite, so be with us each evening. We just don't know yet exactly where we're going to be, but we are asking you to come. Join with us in this great work, this great soul-winning work, and see the salvation of the Lord with us. Amen?
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this day. It's been a glorious dream come true to each and every one of us. Lord, so many of these young people that came all the way here from California, for this next 2 weeks. Lord, let it be 2 weeks that they shall never forget throughout eternity. Bless the Lord and God. Bless the prayer meeting in the morning. Bless the services tomorrow night. Let every person leave here tonight saying, I'm going to bring someone to church with me tomorrow night. Lord, we ask it for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You're dismissed.